It never really happened to me personally, but I've imagined what it would be like to try and return home after the devastation of a forest fire. I see myself and my family driving down the road, and I can begin to smell the smoldering soot, kind of like after you've doused the flames and the coals at a campfire at the beach. I can see the ash begin to rise as our tires lift it from the road. And I look out to the sides where there used to be lush green trees, and all I can see is what looks like charcoal sticks pointing to a gray, sullen sky. And then we drive up to our home, or what used to be our home. There's nothing there. It's all gone. Destroyed. A pile of rubble and desolation. We had to leave quickly. They told us the fire would be there any minute. Grab a couple of things, some clothes, and get out of there, and so we did. All we took was some clothing and some pictures from off the wall, and we ran. And now I take a stick, and I'm digging through the rubble, the charred remains, our furniture torched, broken glass that used to be our family pictures on the wall, burned. And the sense of loss begins to rise up in my soul. Our beautiful home, destroyed. All of our possessions, gone. Our memories, decimated. Everything was ashes. It was as if I was staring death in the face. And I began to cry.
I'll always remember the day I was at home doing what I've always done, and the phone rang. And this voice on the other side of the phone told me that she was dead. And I remember thinking to myself that that's impossible. I just saw her yesterday. That I had just seen her the day before. And we were joking around and talking about what we were going to do. She was making fun of me because I couldn't spit my words out right. We were just laughing. There's no way she could be dead. I remember thinking to myself, they must have the wrong person. I mean, who makes that phone call, and why would she die? She was so full of joy. She spent every moment that she could with me, telling me that she loved me and that I would be with someone, that I would be with someone in the future. They would be proud of me, just like she's proud of me. She was proud of the fact that I had found God. She was always encouraging. Why would God take someone like that? She had done so much in her life. I remember one time she went out to go get the groceries, and she came back and she had this weird look on her face, and she's all giddy. She said, guess what I did? She said, I bought the groceries, but then I gave them to this other family. We don't have dinner. I remember thinking to myself, who are you? She came to me one Thanksgiving and she said, guess what? There was this guy, he was homeless, and I gave him $100. I hope he makes the right decision with it. She couldn't be gone. I haven't done anything with my life, so why would you take someone that I love and not just take me? Everything couldn't be more confusing. I didn't know what to do. I felt awful. And I decided that I'm not doing this. It's not true, and I won't live without her. I'm not going to acknowledge this. This isn't happening. I can't do this, and I won't.
It was the day after. I woke up. I thought to myself, I hope it was a dream. And then the reality struck me. It was true. Jesus was dead. Pictures of the experiences from the previous day started to flood my memory. I could hear the sounds of the nails being driven into his hands and into his feet. I could hear the groans as they lifted him up on the cross for everyone to see him. I could see myself again standing there looking at his bloodied and bruised body. And I could hear him gasping for breath. I began to hear the sounds of the people around him, the mockers. Hey, King of the Jews, where's your kingdom now? So you're the Son of God. Why don't you call some angels to help you out? And then I heard his cries. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I thirst. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then the sky, it clouded over, it turned black. And then we all felt the earthquake. And then there was silence. Everyone who had been standing there began to walk away down the hill until just a few of us were left standing there looking at Jesus on the cross. We took down his lifeless body and we carried it to the tomb. And there we deposited all of our dead hopes and dreams. We had expected so much. He promised us a new life. He promised us a new kingdom. He promised us that he would remove the oppression around us. And we believed him. And we were excited. And we were anticipating all that was going to take place. And now there it was in front of us, dead. As they rolled the stone over the mouth of the tomb, I could feel the darkness rolling over the surface of my soul. I could feel the hopelessness and the despair rising inside of me. We have a Hebrew word for that, keha. It means to fade, to dim, to flicker. It's like a burning candle that all of a sudden begins to go out. It flickers and it fades until finally, with one last breath and puff of smoke, it gives up and dies. And everything is dark and black and dead. What a difference a couple of days can make. It was Sunday morning. The women got up early. They were going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And when they got there, something was different. The stone wasn't there. They were confused. What was going on? But as the reality and the facts began to reveal themselves, it became clear that something had happened. Something impossible. Jesus was alive. The angels told them. And then they saw him. And so they ran. And they came to tell us. We thought they were nuts. But they compelled us. Come, come, look at the tomb. Come and see the place where he was And so we went. We ran with them to the tomb. And we went inside. And it was then that it struck us. As we saw the way that the grave clothes lay there in the tomb without him, we realized that he indeed was alive. And then we saw him as well. Jesus was alive. I can't tell you what it started to do inside of me as the realization struck me. All of those dead dreams, all of those dead hopes, all of those dead promises had just instantaneously come back to life with Jesus. And there was something else. They weren't just restored. There was a new power. There was a new certainty. Everything that he promised was going to take place because he was alive. It makes all the difference in the world that Jesus is alive. That flickering flame in my soul became so bright that it was burning and the candle could hardly contain it. If I had been a singer, I would have burst forth in song. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Thanksgiving, adoration, for everything that I thought was dead has come back to life. Back to life in Jesus.
So it's kind of interesting how when you're grieving someone, when everything seems so confusing, and you just kind of get stuck in the fog of what is happening, how much time goes by. Before you know it, it's 6 months later, 7 months later, and you realize that you spend all your time just hoping no one talks to you. That's what I did. For months, I probably went on and I didn't want to hear about how God needed her maybe in heaven. It would make me so angry because I needed her here. The things that people would try to encourage me with, I didn't want to hear it. I'd miss work. I didn't want to do life. It's like I walked around in a fog. And then I guess there came that moment where I got up and I walked around. And I guess I finally came to the realization that I could look at something and not just hurt and not just see the loss, but actually remember the good things. Remember the joy that she brought me when she was here. Look at things and remember the funny stories. Like these flowers were her favorite flowers. And she'd giggle, the weirdest giggle, at the littlest things. And I realized that I started walking around thinking about how privileged it was for 17 years of my life to know her. And so what happened was I started seeing this fog lift. And I started telling stories about her. And I started to get excited to share who she was. And I had that moment where I realized she used to always tell me, you can be someone. Don't live up to what everybody else has told you. Don't believe what goes on in your head. You can do this. And I realized that just being alone and in that dark place, that's not what she wanted for me. She didn't want me to just wither away and pray to God every day that I just would go too. She didn't want me to be angry at him. She wanted me to flourish and to keep moving. And I was actually able to do that. Telling stories about her brings so much joy. And that's when I realized that when I would start talking about her, that I was like getting excited and I would see other people laugh and smile. And I came to the conclusion that what I had received, all that encouragement and the joy and the goofiness, I need to start pouring out into other people. And I started to live life differently because I realized that it was actually a complete and total privilege that I knew her and I get to talk about her. And I get to live my life with a different peace and a different grid now that someone's passed that I love so dearly. But I get to live it and live who I think I should be and be able to share the joy and to pour into others and do those little things like she would do for those who didn't have what she had. And so life began to look brighter. And I can say that I walk life and I look forward to it. And I look forward to the moments of sharing her with my family and talking about her and how she affected me. It really is amazing how it transforms. And that all of a sudden you get a spark and you look forward to it. And I can say that I'm excited. I'm excited to move forward and to live life like I'm supposed to.
What a difference a year can make. Today, we're moving into our new rebuilt home. It's something like the house that we lost in the fire, but not completely. We built it better. It's more fireproof. And there were always some things that we wanted in that old house that we now have because we've added them. The new house is better. We didn't want to forget our loss, but we didn't want to dwell in the ashes. And so we took some of the things that we had discovered among the ashes of the destruction, and we put them on a special wall in our home in new frames to remind us of those things in the past that we lost, but that God was making new in our lives. I remember looking out the window, and I could see that all the trees outside were still dead. And I thought, it's going to take a lot longer for them to come back than it did our home. But they will. And as I looked more closely, I started to see some green sprouts coming out of the side of the charcoal trees. And I thought to myself, how beautiful is that intense green against that dark black? And I was reminded what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to give us beauty for ashes. Jesus wants to give us beauty for ashes and life for death. That is his resurrection power. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm going to invite Gina to come up. We want to talk to you about a great exchange. A great exchange that Jesus makes possible in our lives. Some 700 years before Jesus came to the earth, there's a prediction made about what he would do. And this is what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Do you see the exchange? Beauty for ashes, gladness for mourning, praise for despair.
It's that power. It's the resurrection that allows us to have this exchange. It's the power that rose Jesus from the dead and makes new life and brought him back to life that makes the things inside of our lives alive again. All those things that you think are dead can be risen and resurrected. Our dreams can be resurrected. Our purposes, our relationships that we think are broken forever, that we think are dead and can never be, and just wipe us out. Do we understand that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, who lives today, will raise all of our dead parts, all of those dead things in us, and bring them back to life?
But there's one most important thing that Jesus wants to bring back to life. and that is our souls. Before any of the other transformation and resurrection can take place in all of the circumstances and things in our life, there needs to be a transformation that takes place within our lives. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners, and all of us inside of our souls are dead, and we need to be made alive. And we're made alive when we invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives and to begin to transform us from the inside out. Amen? Amen. Many of you have experienced that, right? Let me tell you about how that started in my life. I was very fortunate. I was raised in a Christian home. We read the Bible every night. We prayed together. We had a regular practice of going to church. And so from an early age, I learned about the Bible. I learned about sin, and I learned about judgment. I learned about righteousness. I learned about how we should live. I learned about how we were powerless to do that ourselves. But it was something that was out there. It was kind of my parents' faith instead of mine. Until one day, I came to the realization that Jesus couldn't be something that was just an objective reality out there. Jesus needed to be something that was a reality to me. And so one night, by myself, alone in my bed, I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my Savior and to change me and begin to transform me. Now, I'm going to tell you that I was rather young. And so God didn't have to come into my life and redeem me from a sordid past. What he had to redeem me from was a sordid future. And I praise God that he did. Not that there haven't been problems in my life. Not that there aren't times that I've gone astray. Not that I haven't suffered loss like you. I've had two brothers that I've had to grieve the loss of and try to understand why Jesus allowed them to die in what seemed to me to be premature. And yet I can stand up here this morning and I can say, because of the transforming work that Jesus started in my life years and years ago, God has given me a really wonderful life.
Now, for me, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a house where the only time I ever heard the word Jesus or God is because it was being followed by some kind of swear word. I had no concept at all in my life that God was a thing. And I had no concept at all of faith. It just didn't, just zero grid for it. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I accepted Christ. But before I did, I had come to a place where I had driven my life into the ground. I mean, I really had gotten to a place where I was going to kill myself. I was completely hopeless. Nothing that I did in my life meant anything. And I really came to a place where I had decided that there was no reason for me to be here. I didn't have anybody in my life that I expected to be cheerful. When I was growing up, it was mostly just people who came and went. And so I didn't know anything. And then one day, I had a coach who said and knew that I wasn't a believer and asked me what I was going to do. I wanted to tell him that I was going to kill myself, but he just had this thing about him. And he said that he would walk me to the Lord. And my comment was, I'll give it a try. And he walked away. And for a split moment, I thought it happened. I was like, is that it? And he turned around and very intensely said to me, I will not do this with you. I will not walk you to the Lord if you're going to leave a loophole. If you're going to leave a way out, then we're not doing it. Just do whatever. You're either all in or you're all out. There is no middle ground. And I had this moment where I realized, what do I have to lose other than my life? And so I gave my life. And I remember thinking to myself, this better be a new start for me. And I can guarantee you, for the first week after accepting Christ, I thought I got ripped off. Because it was so hard for me to walk a life that wasn't self-destructive. But I kept pushing forward, and he kept saying to me, don't give up. Don't give up. There's no way out. He's just going to chase you around. And I remember what happened. I started not listening to all the lies that I had believed, comparing myself to everybody else, telling myself that who I was and what I did is as good as it was going to get. And instead, I started knowing more about what he said about me, the truth of what he said about me. And to this day, I can say to myself and truly believe that I am a daughter of a king. And I absolutely believe it. And that is true for everybody. Jesus came to die for all of us. There isn't a person in this room or in our lives that he did not make a sacrifice for, the one and done sacrifice, and rise again so we can all live. So some of you might have come here today, and you feel like there are things that are dead in your life, that nothing about you is worth it, or you won't resurrect, or there's nothing that he really cares about in you. And the truth is, he loves you. And so if you don't know him and you want to know him, it's really simple. You don't have to say it out your mouth. You can say it in your head. But it goes very simply like this. Lord, I am a sinner. I am a train wreck. I am a mess. I am whatever you want to fill in the blank. And I need you. So come and just take this and fill me and be the Lord of my life. I believe you died and rose again. I accept this free gift called life and salvation. So if you said that prayer, if you think you need that, if you know that you have things in your life that you want to have resurrected, that you want to have repaired relationships, whether it's another person or you and God, then come to us afterwards. We will be up here. There will be people up here who have been praying for this service and for whoever comes their way, and we will pray. If you said the Lord's Prayer, you said that simple prayer, know that you need to tell someone. Tell whoever you came with. Tell one of us, because our minds play tricks on us. You'll walk out the door if you don't tell someone, and within a couple hours, you'll say, oh, I don't think it really happened. If you proclaim him as Lord and Savior right here, right now, in that moment, he is here and you are saved. Praise him.
Amen. So Jesus is alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. And the Bible tells us that he is in heaven, but he isn't staying there. One day, he's going to come back. He's going to come back to the earth, and he's going to take his rightful place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But unlike other kinds of kingdoms in the world today that try to force their will on people by oppressing them, Jesus' way of building his kingdom is from the inside out. He wants his kingdom to be not only on earth as it is in heaven, he wants it to be in us as it is in him. And so, we invite you again, if you don't know Jesus, to let the kingdom come into your life and to begin with you. And now, it's time to celebrate. Let's celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and sing.